This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on your power bill and using technology and living a sustainable life.
We interrupt this episode of Energy Matters to take you outdoors.
On the road again.
Hey, I'm down in Clayton County. Actually, I'm in College Park. I think I'm actually in Fulton County right now. But I went to high school in Clayton County at North Clayton High School, kind of on the Clayton-Fulton line. And I'm with Commissioner Felicia Franklin Warner. Welcome to Energy Matters.
Thank you.
Hey, you just sang the national anthem here. Where did you learn to sing at?
Oh, my goodness. I've been singing all my life, actually, since I was like 4 years old, and I've been singing professionally since I was 12. I graduated from New World School of Performing Arts down in Miami, Florida, and then went on to the University of Miami. But I'm a Georgia girl. I was born right here in Georgia to my father, who was a military serviceman.
Great. My grandfather was at Fort Benning. My mom was born in Fort Benning. So were you born at Fort Benning?
I sure was. I was born at Fort Benning, yes.
Yeah, what a cool place. They've got a great museum over there now. I don't know if you've had a chance to go through it.
I haven't had a chance to go through the museum, but I spent some time there on the base. I need to go back.
Yeah, it's a cool place, a big place. I don't think folks realize how much of an impact military bases have on the Georgia economy.
Most definitely. I can tell you, we don't realize it. Majority of our population, if you look at it, has served or will continue to serve on one of those bases. And especially when you're looking at in the past when they were closing down a lot of the bases, Fort Benning remained open and they moved a lot of the operations there. So it has a huge economic impact on the entire state of Georgia.
One of the things that we've tried to do on the commission is to help military bases get renewable energy, because part of their orders from Washington is to be more resilient. So we have put 30 megawatts of solar at Fort Benning, Fort Gordon, down at the sub base and Marine base in Albany, Fort Stewart. It's been important to help them be able to do that. So we've authorized Georgia Power to add that solar. Let me ask you, as you think about energy for the future, do you see solar and batteries and other things becoming more and more popular?
Oh, my goodness, yes. As I stated, I am a Georgia girl but raised in Florida. And the reason I say that is because when we were there, all we knew was solar energy. When I was living with my parents there, we used solar energy for our home. So coming back here to Georgia over 25 years ago, I realized that there was a gap in terms of the progression of solar energy in the state of Georgia. So I'm really glad to hear that you're putting that focus on that, because that's going to help us be able to sustain ourselves and sustain growth and economic growth by having that renewable and sustainable energy.
You know, with the rate case that we just had, we added net metering to the offering for solar. Forever, we haven't had net metering in Georgia, and I added a small amount, about 32 megawatts worth of net metering, 5,000 customers. And this is going to allow folks to have a little bit better value proposition for putting solar. And I know that solar's still growing. We're 10th in the nation in solar installed. Do you see an opportunity for residents of Clayton County to continue to take their homes and add renewable energy, either solar or batteries or both?
Most definitely. And I think that the more that you make the community and the residents aware of the benefits of having renewable and solar energy, you'll see them start to gravitate to that opportunity a little bit more as well. But that was a really startling percentage of 10% of only 10% of us using renewable and solar energy. So I think we need to work together to increase that number.
Yeah, and with tariffs on solar panels and, you know, you have homes that are facing the wrong way. You've got old roofs, and you don't want to put solar on an old roof because the panels last 30 years. And if you have to take the panels off in 7 years and put the roof on, or maybe the homeowners association says you can't have it, or maybe the person's credit is prohibitive. So there's a lot of obstacles to being able to get solar, and we just want to continue to make it easy. And that's why we've told Georgia Power, look, let's create some community solar arrays. Let's create other ways for people to be able to take advantage of it.
Sounds like a great idea, and I think that you're well on your way. It all begins with awareness and sharing the information and statistics to folks. And then also, as you know, in your position, it helps to make sure that we've got policies in place to support that initiative. So,
my grandfather was a commissioner in Clayton County way back in the day, 3 terms. He only had an 8th grade education, but he was an entrepreneur, a businessman. He went to church in Mountain View, the former city of Mountain View. They lost their charter because of the mayor's misbehavior over there of attacking a constituent out in the parking lot. But as you think about being a commissioner and the challenges of serving in public office, what's it like having people call you at home and see you at church and see you at the grocery store because they recognize you and they stop you and they, you know, give you a piece of their mind? What's that like?
For me, it's fine because I think that everybody needs to have an outlet to be able to share their voice, their concerns. And a lot of times their concerns are valid. But then often I find that it's just a little bit of information that they may be missing to help both of myself as well as the constituent to see the big picture of things, to have a different view. So I think that the key for me or for anyone that is in service, they need to understand that everybody's not going to like every decision that you make. And yes, you do have to be accessible. That's what we signed up for, but also we need to respect everybody, and I do ask for everyone to provide that same respect back, because there's no problem that cannot be solved. And if there's a problem that can't be solved, then it's just a fact, and we need to work on how we're going to still succeed around that fact. But the more that you keep the issue at the center of the conversation, it makes all the other concerns just, you know, something that you can definitely get over and deal with, and just keep everybody focused. And remember, they're people too, and they have a voice. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a voice, and everyone is important.
You know, growing up in Clayton County back in the 60s and 70s, I know race relations, they were just in their infancy. And there was a lot of racial prejudice that was floating around. And frankly, I think racial prejudice has been an Achilles heel for our city. Are you optimistic as you meet young people today? They've moved on from this, that we've got a generation coming up that's more civil, that's more loving, that's more accepting. Are you optimistic about race relations for the metro area in the future?
I will always remain optimistic about race relations in the entire metro area and throughout the United States. But let me say this, not to put my age out there, but I graduated from high school in 92. The same conversation we're having here today was the conversation they were having in 92. But yet and still, we're still dealing with some things among those of various generations that are concerning. So what that tells me is we have to always remember where we come from. We have to remember our past. We have to tell our stories of our past so that we don't repeat them. And so I don't think that race relations are necessarily going to end with one generation. It has to be something that we approach from a standpoint of we're constantly growing, we're constantly learning, we're constantly connecting with people so that at the end of the day, we realize that everybody has a presence. Everybody's presence is important. And then on top of that, that everyone has basic needs and has a voice. And the more that we're a little bit more understanding of that, you'll find at the end of the day that your Aunt Janice is probably the same as my Aunt Janice. She has the same needs. But if we could keep the basic need for humanity at the forefront of the conversation and never forget where we come from, you will continue to see the world changing and our local government and our local surrounding changing. So I'm very optimistic.
You know, I have 7 children, and I'm so pleased with where my children are in terms of their attitudes toward others compared to where I was at in high school or college. It's so encouraging because for me, it has been evolutionary in the sense that, you know, as I've gotten to know people, as I've traveled with people from other races, and particularly African Americans here in Atlanta, I have learned to appreciate them, their story, their past, their situation. And like you've just said, I found that I have more in common than I knew. And I think that really is a great place to begin.
Most definitely. That is a place to begin. Sit around together and tell our stories. One of the two places that I will tell you that still has not been integrated to the depth that we would want to see it, and that is, and it's going to sound crazy, but churches and funeral homes. Why do I say that? Because those are the places that we get our strength for life from churches. We get our inspiration, and they are starting to integrate more. But then also you look at funeral homes, that's the place where we go to the end of life. And so even though it sounds strange, but I think that it tells the fact that we've got to do more, as you were just saying, to make sure that we come together outside of work experiences, but also on a social level to begin to understand one another more. And so I even ask you this, because your grandfather served in Clayton County. He had an eighth grade education. My grandfather had a third grade education. So I just propose to you that you and I get together more than just on a business level or for an interview. That's how we start.
That is great advice, and I look forward to that. In our last minute, where's Clayton County going in the future? It's positioned so strategically in the metro, part of the airport sitting in Clayton County. I remember campaigning with my granddad in College Park as he ran for commission. Those houses aren't there anymore, but where is Clayton County going in our last 30 seconds?
Well, let me tell you, Clayton County is definitely on the way up. A lot of people say that we are a secret. We're not going to be a secret anymore. We are a diamond, and we're going to polish that diamond. We have great resources, from water to our public servants to our fire department and so forth. We have land, buildable land, and we're excited. We are the place for you to come and grow. So give us a call. We'll be so glad to have you here, right here in Clayton County. Together, Clayton excels.
Thank you so much for being on Energy Matters. God bless you in your service.
God bless you as well, and thank you for this interview.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Tim Eccles with Energy Matters.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
BMVW is the place in Metro Atlanta to get your used hybrid, plug-in hybrid, or fully electric car. They're located on the south side near the airport, but it is well worth the drive. Go online to look at their inventory at ev-hybrid.com and set up a time to see the vehicle or even drive it for up to 3 days. I don't know of anywhere else in Metro Atlanta that you can do that. That's ev-hybrid.com, the best deal in town. ev-hybrid.com, ev-hybrid.com. This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, this is Commissioner Eccles. We're back with Energy Matters. We're on the road. We're down at the South Metro Development Outlook event. Michael Hightower does this event. His group, the Collaborative Firm, we're doing some tweeting, and you can check us at Tim Eccles or at Matters Radio. But my privilege to have for this segment, Christopher Pike. He's with the City of South Fulton. Welcome to the show.
Hey, great. Glad to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
First, tell our audience, where exactly is the City of South Fulton as we think about a Metro Atlanta map?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are what was initially the unincorporated part of Fulton County, the south part of Fulton County. I tell people that our boundaries are pretty much the Chattahoochee River to the west, Union City, College Park, East Point, Fairburn, Palmetto to the east, City of Atlanta to the north, and Chattahoochee Hills to the south. So that's kind of give you a geographical area of where we are.
So if you go to Six Flags or go out that way and you drive, say, south on Fulton Industrial, or I think people would be surprised how rural parts of South Fulton are.
Yeah, so South Fulton is probably one of the least developed cities in all of metro Atlanta. There are still operating farms in the city, 15 minutes from downtown Atlanta. So if you think about it in that respect, we kind of have all quality of life in South Fulton. So if you want to be close to Atlanta and have more of the hustle and bustle, you can definitely do that. If you want more of the rural environment, you can definitely have that as well.
This was a new city, so you stood up a brand new city. What's the challenges of trying to create something brand new like this?
Well, obviously, a city that's, you know, we're the third largest city in metro Atlanta at 100,000 people or 85 square miles, which is massive for a municipality in the state of Georgia. So just the sheer size of the operation and organization posed a challenge. But, you know, we have a lot of smart people, a lot of good employees working. We have a great team. We have elected officials that are really growing into their roles. And so they're really helping to mold the city as we move forward. And so while we did have some bumps in the roads, we definitely have come a long way as it relates to what an ideal our city should be, and that's what we're working for, a world-class city, and we're well on our way to becoming that.
You know, cities are doing a lot of cool things across Georgia and across America, you know, from the little parks they're doing, a lot of trails, sustainability, and that's a big part of our show. Talk to me a minute about sustainability. Do you hear a lot of your citizens ask about solar, ask about renewable energy, ask about recycling, composting, sustainability? Is that a topic that people in South Fulton care about?
Absolutely. We have a lot of citizens that are engaged and wanting to talk about technology as it relates to renewable energy, as it talks to green cities, those types of things. We've having lots of conversations around those initiatives. Some of the things, like as you mentioned earlier, walking trails. We are part of the Chattahoochee Riverlands Project. Obviously, that runs through the city of South Fulton to the south part. And so we've been really engaged with that. That's the 100-mile trail that's going to go basically from Sugar Hill all the way down past Chattahoochee Hills. And so that's something that we're heavily involved in, but also the Aerotropolis Greenway study and the Greenway plan, we're very heavily involved in that. The city will have a large presence in that trail connection as well. And so those quality of life things are what our citizens are expecting from us. One of the recommendations out of our strategic plan that we just presented to the council was an emphasis on technology jobs that focus on green energy. And so we'll be creating strategies in our city to attract those types of jobs and that type of industry to the city of South Fulton.
I serve on the Georgia Public Service Commission, and we just approved in December of 2019 a new net metering policy for solar, which is going to change the value proposition for really any Georgia Power customer, whether they be a city or whether they be a homeowner or a business who puts solar on their roof. It's going to change the value proposition and make it more lucrative for them. And we certainly want to continue to partner with cities to help cities to accomplish their 100% clean goals, because many cities are setting these goals. What are some of the goals that South Fulton has as you look at your strategic plan in terms of sustainability and renewable energy?
Because we are a new city, we're really just beginning to develop that plan. That plan will be in concert with feedback from our citizens, which all of our plans and strategies have a lot of community input. And so we have been having conversations, but we have not adopted a strategy at this point of what that is going to exactly look like. But it's something that we're definitely working on. As a city that's obviously 2 years old, we've had a lot of other challenges. And so now we're being able to really focus on those type of strategies and policies that we want to adopt. But we have been having those really in-depth conversations about what those will be.
Actually, I like your approach, because I think there's a lot of cities that kind of get out ahead of their skis, so to speak, on this, and they'll set a goal that's unrealistic. It's very difficult for a city that doesn't generate their own power to set a goal like that. So I do think it is good to be deliberative, to be careful about this and resist the temptation just to have some political vote that makes it sound like, oh, we're all sustainable and green here, but we've set some kind of unreachable goal. So I do want to commend the city for being cautious and moving forward in a deliberative and careful way as you set the goals. Let me ask you just about some of the businesses that you have attracted and some of the things that you say to prospective businesses to get them to come to your city.
Sure. Well, we are very proactive in building relationships. As I tell people, 90% of my job is to build relationships. And that's really what helps people become comfortable with doing business with us in the city of South Fulton. And so we have a specific sector that we're looking for, more technology-driven jobs, more clean jobs, as we mentioned earlier. And so we just try to put ourselves in positions to be able to tell the story of South Fulton to those individuals that are making decisions about where to expand or where to locate. And so that's really what I focus on. In that respect. And what we also have industries that are still currently in the city that we help with expansions and those types of things. And so we're really just focused on really providing and selling the fact that South Fulton is the best place to do business in the state of Georgia.
Let's talk about water just a second. My family owns property that's on the South River in Henry County. It's on the Henry Newton line forever, I guess, since, you know, in the 60s. I mean, my dad used to swim in that river back in the 50s. But our water, the Chattahoochee, the Oconee coming out of Athens where we do our show, the South River, the Yellow River, so many of these rivers just are not in the place that we want them to be. And I know with all these trails going in, do you feel like that this generation of citizen or constituent, that they're going to demand just cleaner water and cleaner air?
Well, I think that's one of the main catalysts for the reason why you want to do the trail on the Chattahoochee River, because the more people are connected to the river, the more they're going to be invested in the health of the river. And so people will start asking more questions as they have more access to the river. And I think that's really what the group is focusing on, is the education component. There are some people that feel like that, well, we should just, you know, protect the river from access from the community and not let people go down to it and see it. But I think that has an adverse effect, because if people don't have a connection to it, then they don't have a passion for its well-being. And it's what we want people to be able to have an appreciation for our waterways, so that they will take care of them and they will demand that companies be more responsible. But I must say, you know, and we obviously have a large part of Fulton Industrial Boulevard, which obviously is a ton of warehouse space right there on the banks of the Chattahoochee River. And I think, you know, obviously 30, 40 years ago, quality control is a lot different than it is now. And I think you're seeing companies be more responsible when it comes to not polluting and those type of things. And of course, we still have some things to work on, but I think companies understand the importance of clean water and clean air, and we continue to hammer away at that message in our city as we work to help make sure what I call our corporate citizens can still be healthy from a financial standpoint.
I'm talking to Christopher Pike. He is the Economic Development Director for the City of South Fulton. And Christopher, I really like that idea of putting people in front of the river. So it's not out of sight, out of mind. Right. So you're kind of tackling this head on and wanting people to get down there and see, wow, there's a lot of trash here. There's a lot of, you know, dirt here, a lot of whatever. And to cause them to want to have more pride, to make this a higher priority, because as an elected official myself, quantity matters in terms of complaints. I don't want just one person telling me some idea. I want to hear it from a lot of people, and that's telling me that it's of great concern. In this final minute, let me just ask you to make a pitch for South Fulton and why South Fulton is something or a place that people need to look at.
Well, absolutely. Well, one of the biggest things, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, is that we're untapped potential. So we have people who are ready to support businesses that come to our community. We have the availability of land that is relatively inexpensive compared to other places in Metro Atlanta. And we just have a great quality of life. the fact that we don't have a ton of traffic, the fact that we do have a lot of green space, the fact that we do have good schools and good community buy-in and input. So it's definitely a place where you want to be.
Well, thanks for being on the show today. It's great being here at the South Metro Development Outlook, me being a Southsider, from way back. And good luck in everything that you're doing in South Fulton.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you.
Hey, you're listening to Energy Matters. Stick around. We'll have more interviews from our on-the-road trip down to the South Metro Development Outlook Conference in College Park. I'm Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Creative Solar USA is a Georgia-based turnkey installer of innovative solar panel systems. They're dedicated to energy solutions for both your home and business. With their NABCEP certified installers, they ensure their clients receive the highest quality of solar energy systems in the industry. Contact CSUSA today at 770-485-7438 or go to creativesolarusa.com.
Hey, this is Tim Eccles. We talk all the time on Energy Matters about buying a used EV instead of a new one. Let someone else pay the depreciation. BMVW Auto Sales, one of our show sponsors, can fix you up. Go to their website at ev-hybrid.com to see the ever-changing inventory. BMVW has every brand, every type of EV, and they'll even let you test drive it for 3 days, show you how to charge it and drive it for maximum performance. That's ev-hybrid.com. ev-hybrid.com.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by BMVW Auto Sales.
Hey, welcome back to Energy Matters. This is Commissioner Eccles. I'm your host. As you know, our regular listeners, we talk about energy, sustainability, technology, and Atlanta continues to grow. And our guest for this segment is Josh Finn. And Josh works for the Development Authority in Henry County. We're going to dive into this. He's the executive director. Welcome, Josh.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Josh, you went to LaGrange College. So first, let me ask you, how was it going to the Little Methodist College down there on the Alabama line?
It was a great experience. LaGrange College is the oldest private college in the state and only second only to the University of Georgia. So there's a lot of tradition and history on that campus. But it was an absolute great experience. And we're growing as my alma mater keeps growing. And proud to say we like to beat Emory at baseball every now and then, our little brother, as we like to say.
I grew up in Clayton County, so we're here on the road actually at an event in College Park where I guess we're not necessarily sitting in Clayton County. We may actually be sitting in Fulton County, but I grew up in Clayton County with some guys from Forest Park High School, Jim Wood, whose sons Max, and he had several boys, but they all went to LaGrange as well. I don't know if you knew the Woods.
I met Max a few times, so for some alumni events, and just always a great experience with them. So they're just good people.
Jim Wood and my grandfather were close friends. Jim was the editor of the News Daily paper. My grandfather was a commissioner here in Clayton County 3 terms. He owned a farm in Henry County. He owned Bishop Brothers Auto Auction. He was just an entrepreneur. I've bragged on him before. He's deceased now, but I've bragged on him before because he only had an 8th grade education, and he owned 500 acres on the South River in Henry County. There's a road named after him there. He was just a fantastic guy. So, you know, I really promote entrepreneurism. It's an important part of what we do on our show. But you guys have a lot of entrepreneurs. You guys have a lot of Fortune 500 companies setting up distribution centers in Henry County. Tell me about the business climate there now.
Well, we continue to grow. Last year alone, we had 10 what we call locations. That's either new industries coming in or established industries expanding. And it wasn't just distribution. We had manufacturers, Sansing Brake, a Korean manufacturer in the automotive supply, has come in and added 250 jobs. And also Tesis, a great Georgia company out of Columbus, Fortune 500, now part of Global Payments, which is also based in Metro Atlanta. They have had a customer support center in Henry County for many years, and they continue to expand. So we have really done a great job of our diversification within our industry mix in Henry County. And obviously our entrepreneurs continue to grow. You look at a company like Bennett Trucking, who just continues, just Atlanta Business Chronicle just rated them the best female-owned business in Metro Atlanta again. They have won that award multiple times and just a great outfit. So we have an ideal business climate in Henry County that's very attractive, not only to the larger employers, but the smaller entrepreneurs as well.
Let me ask you, are you having more companies ask you about renewable energy, ask you about sustainability, want to do a LEED certified building of any sort? Are you hearing more of that as you prospect for business?
We luckily we have with our developers who are doing the industrial product in Henry County, they are adding those amenities because it's becoming a demand of the companies or a request. Because you got to think workforce is very key, attracting workforce. Folks with electric cars want to see that. So we're seeing industrial buildings being developed with the EV plug-in stations already in place, working with their power company providers to get those installations in on the speculative side. But we're also seeing design changes, more energy efficiencies that are out there, more use of traditional daylight where they don't have to use electric light. We're seeing walking trails in our industrial parks being developed, food court trucks. You know, more opportunities and ways to make that a thriving place. You can come, you can work, and you have a good, healthy environment that's in there. So they're trying to be more sustainable in their processes as well, too. So it's more of a request, but our real estate development partners are making sure that's taken care of on the front end. So that's making us more attractive because it's not something that the company has to add on because it's already there.
A lot of folks aren't aware that our Public Service Commission just approved $24 million for Georgia Power to build out electric vehicle chargers and charger make-ready, as we're calling it, own customer-sided properties. And I'm trying to get around to all the metro counties and let them know that, look, if you've got a company and they've been just waiting on chargers, there is no better time because of this pot of money now that's available for the make-ready. And when I say make-ready, I mean wires and transformers, things that would normally be passed on to the customer. Now they have the ability to possibly have that waived. It's going to be kind of a first-come, first-served basis. But I know EVs are a big thing on the north side. The south side has been kind of a charger desert.
We're working on that. So, you know, obviously with the I-75, and we see a lot of synergy in Henry County for those types of demands, not just from the local market, but one thing you got to remember about Henry County, drive time, it's about at the midway point between Detroit and Fort Myers, Florida, as far as driving distance. So right now, as everybody from the north's going down for spring training, and go Braves, they will usually split their trip up to Florida and stay in Henry County. So our hotels are now having to get EV charging stations because folks are wanting that demand that's out there. And it's becoming more and more of a desire as more people are getting comfortable with it, as they're finding jobs within Henry County. So instead of commuting into the city or as they're working from home, having those telecommute options, the electric vehicle is becoming more and more attractive to them because of that concern about charging stations being available to them at the workplace or at a commercial center if needed.
I recently spoke at the McDonough Rotary Club, Henry County Rotary Club, and there was a free charging space there at the Chamber of Commerce located right there on the square in McDonough. So we're seeing more and more. You mentioned a payment company. Let's talk for a second about fintech. And fintech, we cover technology on our show. Fintech is something that maybe our listeners aren't familiar with, but it's coming to Henry County. Tell us what fintech is and why Atlanta and Henry County is a good place for it.
You know, it's a fintech industry has done very well in Metro Atlanta. Henry County's had a good small batch, not just with TSIS, but also Conduit. As larger employers in the fintech industries in Henry County for a good while. So one of the things that we're trying to do, as we have great technology and infrastructure in our commercial corridors, and a big part of that is a power company, Georgia Power. A lot of folks don't know Georgia Power has their largest customer service center in McDonough. that employs over 400 people. So they got to have good telecommunications infrastructure in there. But with the FAA center in Hampton as well, with over 1,000 people controlling all the aircraft, as soon as you take off from Hartsfield, within the southeastern states, there's somebody from Hampton helping direct your plane that's out there. So that boasts a good telecommunications area there. So we're trying to market and expand on that and make that attractive for fintech because we have the employee work base that's there. We have the telecommunication infrastructure. One of the other things that's helping us attract more of those as well, too, people don't realize this, the city of Hampton alone, for a city of under 10,000 people, has the highest internet speeds in the commercial corridors in the nation. That came out last year for, I think, PC World, if I remember right. I had to go back and get the right publication that rated that. But that's a big statement.
Speaking of Hampton, the NASCAR race this weekend is March 14th and 15th, and folks can find my op-ed in the Henry Herald as well as the Clayton News Daily. I always write an op-ed. I'm a big fan, a big NASCAR fan. I've been praying for Ryan Newman and this horrible accident that he had. Can we talk about the economic impact of that race and that racetrack in the county?
Yes, it's very big, and we always anticipate about 100,000 people at the event that weekend coming through the gates at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Atlanta Motor Speedway is actually Henry County's number one taxpayer, so it's very important for us to partner with them, make it viable. And I think it's not just a race. Atlanta Motor Speedway and their team under Ed Clark and Brandon Hutchison have done a great job of bringing in other events, the Georgia Air Show, the Imagine Music Festival. But also there's a lot of testing. The film industry has been really big for Henry County. Big reason for that, Atlanta Motor Speedway, because they have a lot of controlled space that's outside the public. You don't have to close roads. So a lot of the film production companies and movie studios are renting out parts of Atlanta Motor Speedway for filming as well. So Atlanta Motor Speedway is not just a NASCAR race for us economically, but more diverse in what they're bringing in. It has made a tremendous economic impact. Still probably the number one economic impact for Henry County, but it's on a more consistent basis. But we think of NASCAR coming up. And we're excited. Folds of Honor's coming up. Atlanta Motor Speedway has made some great upgrades into the stadium area. So you'll see some things like you see at the Battery, Mercedes-Benz, or State Farm Arena in the amenities and concession packages. Very excited to see how the fans react to that.
Well, in our final 45 seconds, tell folks how they can find out about Henry County, maybe the website, maybe how they can reach the Development Authority, anything else they need to know about the county.
Yeah. We're very easy to access. Our website is www.choosehenry.com. So we're located in McDonough. And our website has a lot of information about what's going on in Henry County. Also, I encourage anyone who's looking to come to Henry County and just take a look. Our Tourism Bureau, Henry County, and the Henry County Chamber of Commerce have a lot of great information on what's going on, not just in Henry County, but in our municipalities as well, too. So a lot of great things, a lot of great events, a lot of great small businesses to come and visit. If you're looking to do business, we're happy to help. We have great entrepreneur programs if you're an entrepreneur for Small Business Development Center and SCORE to help you get your business going as well.
Thank you so much for being on Energy Matters and having a grandfather who has been a Henry County resident since 1942 when he bought his farm. I appreciate all you guys are doing down there and the great work that Henry County is doing.
Thank you, Commissioner. I look forward to your show.
Hey, this is Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters. Stick around for more great energy talk.
The electric car revolution is coming, and the choices are growing. GEM cars are everywhere. You've seen these low-speed electric vehicles on college campuses, downtown Atlanta streets, and resort islands like St. Simons and Jekyll. GEM cars are street legal, equipped with seatbelts, headlights, and a tag, and can operate on roads with speed limits of 35 miles per hour or less. If you want to know more about these electric cars and trucks, six-passenger shuttles, mobile repair service, or full vehicle wraps, go to GEMCarService.com. That's GEMCarService.com.
Tim Eccles here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over Georgia. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. The folks there understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll unpack it all. They've been in business for over 25 years. To find out more, go to SolarSunWorld.com. That's SolarSunWorld.com.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. They've worked hard to overcome the chief obstacle to solar adoption, its initial cost. In some cases, they can install your solar panels at no cost, then charge a predetermined, stable rate for the energy used. In other cases, Better Tomorrow Solar has creative ways to finance the installation so the monthly payments are lower than the energy savings. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you make your world better.
Hey, this is Commissioner Eccles. We're back with Energy Matters. As you know, we talk about how to save money on your power bill. We talk about technology and sustainability. And I've got an old friend with me. I'm in College Park today at an event. Kwanzaa Hall, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, great. Good to see you. It was a blessing to bump into an old friend who I know has been doing the yeoman's job of pushing things forward on behalf of citizens in the sustainability space. Good to see you, my brother.
Yeah, thank you. You know, sustainability is a big topic. More and more companies coming to Atlanta, and you're an entrepreneur, a former elected official. I mean, you hear it, you see it. Why do you think sustainability technology is such a big deal now to Fortune 500 companies?
Well, I mean, the whole world has shifted and disruption is occurring. And disruption also brings, as we know, an economic opportunity. Either you're going to eat lunch or you're going to be the lunch. And in this case, companies have to figure out how to reposition around the bottom line, things that make dollars and cents. For the sustainability arena, it creates an opportunity, one, to save on our environment, because if we don't protect our environment, none of us will be here or be able to enjoy our lives. Number two, it in some cases helps to save on energy costs, on your water spend, on so many other things that also could affect the lives of people based on the types of materials you're using. So sustainability touches many, a much broader perspective than many people know. And that's what we have to do a better job at communicating. Because some people think, oh, that's the liberal left and they're trying to just push this agenda on us. It's really not about left or right, black or white, nothing like that, north or south. It's really about how we as human beings make sure that we have built in measures in terms of technology, innovation, new ways of doing things, policies to move our society forward in a way that makes it better for generations coming after us.
As an evangelical, I often tell my Republican colleagues and my friends that we have an obligation to take care of this planet. I mean, God gave Adam and Eve a mandate to tend the garden, to care for it. For me, it's really about being a steward. It's a stewardship thing. Speak to that for a second.
Yes, I mean, so it is what you would do in your home. If you don't maintain your house, meaning your roof or your gutters, and your gutters get overflowed with leaves, it's going to cause potential rain damage to the wood in your house. The woodwork gets damaged, works its way down to your foundation. You have trees near your house, you allow the roots to grow too close. They could potentially disturb the foundation. So these are things that we would naturally do to be preventative, ideally, as opposed to reactionary. So we're trying to build in preventative measures that make it better for our generation, but many generations after us. And that is where the stewardship concept comes in. You're protecting, you're preventing, you're managing properly. You're being as wise and as thoughtful about the assets that you have, physical and in some cases even our natural assets for sure. Have to be incorporated in our decision-making in a way that we haven't done in the past.
You and I went to Israel together with a delegation from Georgia at the end of 2011, and one of the things that I noticed, and I guess I noticed this because I had solar thermal on my Athens house, but I noticed in Israel, and you may remember this, that on Jewish homes there was a black smaller tank and some solar thermal panels. On the Arab tanks, it was a white tank, larger, they had larger families, but everyone had solar thermal heating their hot water, and Georgia Power estimates that the cost of heating hot water for your dishwasher, for your water tank, for your showers, for anything that you're using in your home is about 17%. And when I saw that the Israelis were really being proactive, as you say, in putting the tank on the roof, which, you know, homeowners associations wouldn't allow it here, but you can still put the thermal panels up there. I mean, how proactive was that?
It was an amazing sight to see so many years ago. You know, when you have threats to your stability in terms of reliability of power, or of water, you have to create your own internal mechanisms. And in this case, everybody has an individualized solution to backup power and actually ongoing power, as well as safe, clean drinking water. If you don't have those two, life becomes very difficult. And when you're in a challenging environment, their environment is a whole lot more challenging than ours because of the disconnect between the various communities there, religious groups as well. You have to think about what if in a way that we don't think about it. So we have so many luxuries and so many pleasures. We're blessed here. But I think because we have that blessing, it makes us complacent about being proactive and thinking about the what if for us. And not just the what if, what could we be doing better? Are we wasting too much water when we take these long showers? I mean, will it ever run out? Absolutely, it will. It can and will run out. So how do we begin to teach our citizens, our friends, our family members to be a different type of steward, as you said earlier? And they figured out stewardship because it is related to the long-term viability of every individual there. Every household has to have its built-in safety plan. And we need our own safety plans around sustainability as well. Whatever we can do individually, as you've chosen to do, I've been looking at the solar solution for the home. In some cases, we find that the price of the installation and the materials is a little bit too daunting for most people without a special program. So some programs have been created to bring that cost down and stretch the payments out. And then there's how much we actually generate that takes us off of the grid, at least for some point, or in backup situations. You know, we all have these storms here, whether it be hurricanes, tornadoes, or the winter storms that knock power out. How do we navigate around that in those times, especially in cities like Atlanta, where you have all these pine trees, they come down on you in less than a few hours, and everybody's out in a whole neighborhood, a whole side of town, just because a few trees came down. What's the backup plan?
Those are great questions. As I think about the changing energy landscape, I mean, I got elected in 2010. Georgia virtually had no solar then. Now we're 10th in the nation. I did a motion in our rate case this December that added net metering to our state. We've never had it. And we now have net metering for up to 5,000 customers, 32 new megawatts of solar. It's going to change the value proposition for solar. It's going to make it a quicker payback. I had a couple folks tell me that a large array over a 30-year period is going to have a $10,000 swing in earnings for the owner of the array. How important is solar and batteries in this new energy future?
Oh, it's mission critical. We've got to get even better technology and solutions that are coming out of industry and coming out of colleges around the country and from other countries as well who are already ahead of us, like Israel. And then we've got to actually get more people embracing it and understanding that it gives you a balance. If you're limiting yourself, you have a single point of failure. So we've got to get more individuals, you know, businesses to say, I'm going to take a leap and at least try to push the agenda in that direction for my enterprise or for my family. I'm going to at least take a portion of my asset and dedicate it to the future. And that's really what it's about, being forward-leaning to hope that the prices will go down. We remember a time when we only had landline phones. And if anyone would have ever told us back then that we would all pretty much be using wireless phones, we wouldn't believe it. The same is possible here. I think we're going to see, you know, some monumental shifts. It just requires one innovation. And sometimes innovation doesn't come from, you know, the likely places. It comes from, you know, people just being challenged with a problem and then having to figure it out. You start making do. And I think the pathway to being able to use policies like you've done to create an environment where more the proliferation can occur is what we have to see happening more.
Let me ask you to put your entrepreneurial and public policy hat on here in our last minute. We've got trash companies that won't recycle glass, and that's going in the landfill in many counties. We've got a lot of solar panels in our state, about 20 million of them now, with no recycling future ahead of them at the end of their life. With your public policy hat on and your entrepreneurial hat on, how do we take products like this that are going into a landfill and figure out a way to recycle them?
Yes. So in my travels, I also saw in countries like Switzerland where they disincentivize things like plastic bags. You know, you have to pay for your garbage. When you start paying a price for garbage, you feel it by the pound or the kilogram or the ounce, and there's a differential in your disposal fee, then if you're a smart penny pincher, you're going to start figuring out how to do less, and you're going to direct or route your garbage to different, you know, if it's glass, if it's plastic, if it's, you know, things that can be composted. That's what we started to do in the city of Atlanta when I was a council member in a partnership with Coca-Cola. But it also requires finding the early adopters in certain communities. You got to find the people who are most likely to embrace these kinds of ideas and then empower them to begin doing it and then let those ideas spread. Because if you don't get early adopters using it, you might not ever get a solution like that on the table. We've got to kind of empower people and incentivize.
Well, in our last 30 seconds, what's ahead for you? I mean, you, we teased you in Israel that you were a foodie. I mean, you could probably be a chef if you wanted to because of all you know about food. But in our last 30 seconds, what's ahead for you?
A great question. I'm here at the South Metro Development Outlook, a great program put on by Michael Hightower and the Collaborative Fern. Thankful that they had me out here. I am really transitioning to entrepreneurial endeavors and looking at food and beverage is one of the spaces where I can do some things. It's a restaurant that we're looking to put together along the Beltline, also looking at some potential aviation concepts, in particular an Asian concept that we hope that we can get into various locations around the country.
It's been great having you on the show, and thanks for your friendship throughout the years, and God bless you as you move forward.
Thank you so much. God bless you as well.
This is Tim Eccles. Thanks for listening to Energy Matters. Special thanks to our producer, Logan Booker. Until next time, Energy Matters.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GemCarService.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.